Hare Krishna. Today in the Bhagavatam class, we began the chapter that describes the incident of Bharat Maharaj's fall down. How Bharat Maharaj was one day, rose in the morning, and after performing his ablutions, bathing in the Gandaki, chanting his mantras for worship, which we were speaking about the other day. And then all of a sudden, he saw a doe, a pregnant doe, come and drink on the riverside. And while she was drinking, a lion in the distance roared, and the doe was so frightened, because that's the habit of most animals who are lower down on the food chain, that she tried to jump across the river. And while jumping across the river, then she had a miscarriage, and the little baby deer fell into the waves of the Gandaki. And the she-deer went as far as a nearby cave and then just expired there. So then Bharat Maharaj, true to the compassionate nature of a Vaishnava, he waded in water and saved the deer and a little deer and took it to his ashram. And then the story unfolds thereafter. So the interesting question that arises here is that to what extent should one take risks for helping others? Bharat Maharaj, certainly hard to conceive that a person who dedicated his whole life to helping others, as a king, giving shelter, guidance, instruction, protection, how would he just neglect and allow a innocent animal like that to drown? And I would expect that probably, I would probably do the same thing, and I'm sure most devotees have experienced sometime in their lives with their family members, some child comes home with a stray kitten, with a little bird that's fallen out of a nest. It's natural for one to show shelter to and give shelter and mercy to the helpless. But we know that what happens is that by giving that shelter, Bharat Maharaj became so entangled in an innocent thing, such as a deer, that ultimately he lost his human form of life, had to take birth as a deer, then as Jad Bharat. In other words, it was a great tragedy. So where's the balance? How far do you go? Where do you draw the line? Obviously, we should take risks and we should show compassion to others and we should help them. Here, this wasn't really helping an animal spiritually, giving spiritual help or sankirtan, because it was just an animal. So all Bharat Maharaj was going to do is feed it and keep it alive. Still, we don't neglect doing things like that. We're not callous to material suffering of living entities, and we try to help others where they're in a similar situation. But as we do that, we need to be careful as to how far we should go, and what are the signs that our helping others don't then become a risk for us. Because the ultimate principle is that we need to save ourselves. Unless you can save yourself, then what good is your compassion to others, either practically or from the point of view of an example? If you can't save yourself, then how will other people who you're trying to help follow your example? So we need to be able to save ourselves, and at some point we need to know where to draw the line. Bharat Maharaj should have recognized that when he was becoming excessively attached to this deer and it started to become an impediment in his sadhana, he should have just drawn the line. But for some reason, and Shukadeva Goswami gives pretty explicit explanations, Bharat Maharaj, because of attachment, thought, how will this little deer survive without me? Well, how does any deer survive? They survive. No, that's their nature. They're wild animals. They're wild creatures. So once the deer was old enough, big enough to fend for itself, then Bharat Maharaj should have just chased it away. And if it didn't go, should have just hit it once or twice with a little stick, and ultimately the animal would have gone away. It may have been a little painful farewell on part of Bharat Maharaj, but certainly not as painful as what he's going to be suffering later on. So we need to know how to be able to do that. Yes, we're drawing the line. We're saying this is as far as we go. And then beyond this, if this becomes now a burden on my own spiritual life, then I need to know how to let it go. Example that comes to mind is the duty of a king, that a king is supposed to mete out punishment to his own son in the same way that he would to any other citizen. In other words, he doesn't show favoritism. Obviously, a king is attached, more attached to his son than he is to another citizen, perhaps even a stranger. But the principles of justice, the principles of Raj Ram, are such that one has to do one's duty. And if one's son is a miscreant, then he should get the same punishment as any other criminal would. In that way, the duty of a king is properly done. Similarly, the duty of a practicing devotee, and what to speak of a practicing devotee, here we have Bharat Maharaj, who's actually a transcendentalist, is that ultimately you have to save yourself. And if something jeopardizes your saving yourself, then it's not selfish to draw the line at that point. It's the right thing to do, because saving yourself is not a selfish act. It's the best thing that you can do for everybody else, for the world. Because if we are saved as individuals, then others are also saved. Of course, that doesn't mean that we should take the line of the Babajis, who want to just save themselves and don't make the effort to save others. Now, we must by all means make the effort to save others. But nonetheless, even when we're preaching, we're going out, if we feel that we're becoming too influenced, too contaminated by those to whom we're preaching, then sometimes we have to sort of take a break from that. This was Srila Prabhupada's vision when he wanted his followers to all go to Mayapur and Vrindavan once a year in order to get purified, and in order to get a break. From what? From preaching, from saving others. Why? Because inevitably there's a certain degree of contamination that arises. Not because preaching is contaminating, but because we're still conditioned souls. And when we associate with others, we tend to become attracted by their way of life and so many other types of things. So that was an example how Srila Prabhupada, although he gave such unlimited importance to preaching and how valuable that preaching was, but still he wanted to ensure that devotees were actually properly protected. So it requires intelligence. Ultimately, you can't replace intelligence with anything else. And real intelligence, or proper intelligence, will come from Krishna. The Dhammi Bhuti Jogam Tam. Krishna will tell us, oh, now you're getting in way over your head, too far. This type of intelligence and attachment is especially prevalent in the Grihastha ashram. Dealing with, particularly with children, it's natural to be affectionate to them, and obviously one has a very serious long-term obligation to raising children, but still one needs to recognize that my first priority in this world is going back home, back to Godhead, and this whole business of raising family and taking care of a spouse and children, this can't come at the price of one's own liberation. But that's another topic that no doubt we'll come across a little later. And that's it for today. Hare Krishna.